Okay, hello everybody, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas and the Zeichen Nishmas of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Nisham have a continuous aliyah in the source of the Torah that we will share this evening. We, of course, continue to thank the Fron family. I express our collective thanks to the Fron family for their dedication, support, and commitment to the Torah that we share weekly, the Zeichen Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So we are talking about the chapters acquiring emunah by contemplating suffering. And last week we spoke about we should try to attain the level where everything that seemed negative at the time turned out for the best. You can consider events that occurred to you personally or read books of such stories. And we tied this into Yosef HaTzadik last week. As Yosef HaTzadik, it seemed to be very negative, but ultimately it was for the best. You should consider tens and hundreds of stories that show what seemed negative and painful turned out to the best. And as you progress, you should speak to the Creator. Everything I know, Master of the World, everything that you do, I know is perfectly good. I've seen in many cases that events that seem negative and painful turn out to be totally good, and then you should spell out these events. Based on this, I have a emunah that all is for the best. Please help me feel the goodness in every situation. So really, we've been talking about for weeks, and I would even say months, that this concept that everything that happens in our world is for the best, everything that we see, and even the Gemara tells us, called the Aved Rachmana Letav Aved from Rabbi Akiva, and the famous story with the candle and the rooster, and the donkey, the candle, the rooster, and the donkey. So his position was not given away. He couldn't get lodging. When the town was ransacked by bandits, he was saved. So it's one of the principles of our faith that everything Hashem does is for the best. But the kasha is, do we see that it's for the best? And the answer is sometimes no. Sometimes, like Yosef, it takes 22 years to see that it is for the best. From the time he was 17 till 39, he's able to sustain his family. And I'm going to say that Lamaisa, sometimes in this world, we never ultimately see or understand how something is for the best. So the next page says you should elaborate in tefillah. You should ask Hashem to help you feel in your heart, not just know in your mind, that everything that happens to you or to anyone else is perfectly good. This is the avoda for that hour in the day devoted to contemplation. Whatever happens to you or to anybody else is perfectly for the good. So based on a piece by Rav Soloveitchik, a very powerful piece by the Rav, I want to address this idea of everything that happens is totally for the good, but that there's sometimes such a disconnect between what we see and what we know. And events in our lifetime, and sometimes there's no way to say that this is good. There's sometimes no way to reconcile that this is the Tova. Even after 22 years, Yosef saw and was able to express it, such a high level of emunah. But sometimes, to me at least, maybe not to you, I don't know. I know we're all on different levels. We're all working very hard on our emunah to cultivate this midah within ourselves. And of course, I'm referring most recently to the tzara that happened down the block from us. We live on Edward off of Peninsula. You dropped off water in the beginning of the pandemic. I remember 1 or 2 weeks in, you had dropped off water so that I could use it for the teleconference. You were just by us a few weeks ago. So Avigail dropped off pineapple before by Purim time, part of Mishloach Manos. So I know the three of you know where I live. Those on Zoom, some of you have been to my house, some of you not. We live on Edward off of Peninsula. And on Motzei Shabbos, it was just Mamish 11, because I had just picked up my son from Central Avenue with pizza. My husband had just come in from somewhere else, and we were on the main floor, and I have like sheer blinds. And so there were sirens. We live around the corner from Mount Salah Station, so there are often sirens for Echman and Son on our block. So one passed. Then a minute later, another passed. Then we went upstairs, and my son said, I just heard a third one and saw more flashing lights. And of course, we all know what happened. It particularly hit very close to home because one of my sons, my son and Hank, is good friends with a couple of girls who were very good friends with Liel, Allah HaShalom. And so the WhatsApp statuses this week of the kids have all been pictures of Liel with her family, a short video clip from the reunion right before the incident. So it's something that not only is very difficult for us adults, but the shock and the trauma for children who were just spent there. They were just with her. I saw the girls were singing Ein Almovado at the it was a very nice reunion. It was a short clip, under 10 seconds, singing Ein Almovado. So let's talk about this. Yesterday was Asar B'Tivis. And if you listen to my Asar B'Tivis Shir on YU Torah, it was only half an hour, I'm going to just repeat the beginning of the Shir. Okay, that I spoke about. I had to go back to my old-fashioned recorder, so sometimes I'm nervous, I want to make sure it's working. Good evening. So if you go back to, if you heard my Shir, you're just going to hear it again. Okay, Asar B'Tivis is unusual because it's only fast that if it would fall on Shabbos, you can fast. It's very unusual. Aside from Yom Kippur, we don't have another fast like that. Yom Kippur is really its own category because it's the Oraisa and we're not fasting for Churban Beis Hamikdash. But if it comes to Tzom Gedalia or Shiva Asar B'Tamas or Tisha B'Av or Megillat Esther, Tainis Esther, so we don't fast. That's a different reason, but we don't fast on Shabbos and we make a Nidcha fast. When it comes to Asar B'Tivis, the calendar falls. It can never actually fall on Shabbos. But if it did fall on Shabbos, you would have to fast. And we do fast Friday going into Shabbos. So what is the reason for this? So the Chassam Sofer, I'm quoting Rabbi Shalom Rosner. So I showed this to one of my boys, the other one, who's in Dar Chesed. I showed this to one of my boys, and he said that Rabbi Kielsen just spoke about this in his Vad last week. So in his Vad, so maybe it's a famous piece of the Chassam Sofer, but my source for it is Rabbi Shalom Rosner. The Chassam Sofer explains there are two other fasts that you could fast on Shabbos. One is Yom Kippur, and one is Hatavas Chalom, to annul a bad dream. Okay. What is the common theme between fasting on Yom Kippur and fasting for a bad dream? So the Chassam Sofer explains you can fast on Shabbos for a past event, but you could fast on Shabbos regarding a future event. Yom Kippur is about the future, what will be in the coming year, the Gezeiros about to be sealed for the coming year. And it's a divine decision for the year ahead. A year ahead. We're not mourning the past. We're fasting on Shabbos for the future. Similarly, a fast due to a bad dream can also be on Shabbos. It's a future, i.e. it's to prevent a future of calamity. What does this have to do with Asar B'Tivis? So the Chassam Sofer powerfully suggests that every single year on Asar B'Tivis, Hashem decrees if there will be Tisha B'Av again. So Asar B'Tivis is a Yom Hadin. So Yom Hadin for what? Tisha B'Av. Because it was the first calamity in a chain of events that foreshadowed Churban. First Asar B'Tivis was the siege for 2.5 years. Then in Tammuz they breached the walls. Then in Av they burned down the Beis HaMikdash. And Tzom Gedalia was the murder of Gedalia ben Achikam. He was the last ruling sovereign governor in Judea after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And after he was killed, sovereignty, total autonomy, Jewish autonomy was finished from the land. But Asar B'Tivis is the first day. And it's actually a day that's a Yom Hadin. And it is decreed on this day if of Tisha B'Av will be mourning, avelos, Churban, or rejoicing, Binyan, and Simcha. And therefore, that's why we can fast on Asar B'Tivis if it would fall on Shabbos, which it never does. But I'm sure some of you remember that it has fallen out on Friday. Hello, we haven't seen you for a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
Welcome. What grade are you in, Rifki?
Ninth.
Ninth? In Tag, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's for the future. It's a day every year that will determine whether Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov or not. So when we fasted yesterday, it's Mamash Yom Hadin, to determine if Tisha B'Av will be a day of Churban or not. So let us go to this piece by Rav Soloveitchik, please. 1 second. Okay. So, of Aaron Leib Steinman's Atzal, Lechot Tzadav Kadosh Vracha, teaches, I remember seeing the year after his Petira, that all the tragedies that befall us all emanate from Churban, from the destruction of the temple. Everything tragic that happens to us in Galus emanates from this idea that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Shechinah is in exile. Klal Yisrael is in exile. Our holy place sits in ruin, and there's a disconnect to some degree between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this class, this shir, this chabura, we're all trying to strengthen, maybe, I don't know, I hope you're journeying with me, trying to strengthen our emuna. And we're talking so much about seeing everything that Hashem does is for the good. For me, I'm not a gadol, just a person who is also trying to enhance and increase my emuna. I don't know if it'll be ever possible in my lifetime to understand and see how certain events are good. You can know in your mind, called Aver Rachman Aletav Aver. Maybe different people are on different levels. I'm not saying this sarcastically at all or condescendingly at all. I'm saying this very honestly. Maybe some people are able to see the good in certain situations. Let's see what the Rav has to say. So, Asar Batavis is a Yom Adin for Tisha B'Av. What is the main motif of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, and it's a little sad for Asar Batavis that some people don't take the fast so seriously. I'm not judging anybody, and obviously people can't fast because their doctor said they can't and their Rav said they can't, so that's a whole different situation. So people physically cannot or medically can't fast, so you can't fast, you can't fast. I once in my lifetime couldn't fast on Yom Kippur. It was not pleasant, but I was told by the doctor in consultation with the Rav, you have to eat in Shiur and whatever. It was not easy to take the first bite of food. Really, really. It was not easy. What?
When you were pregnant with the twins?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember sitting at the table in the morning with the food in front of me before my husband left the show. He's like, Michal, you have to take. I'm like, I can't do this. He said, yes, because I was 29 years old, you know, and like, and he said, you have to put in your mouth. I said, I can't put this in my mouth. He's like, you're going to go back to the hospital if you don't put in your mouth. You have to put in your mouth. Like, it's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. But generally, if a person is well, so Asar B'Tavis is a very significant day. Just like Yom Kippur is a Yom HaDin for the future year, Asar B'Tavis is a Yom HaDin if we're still going to be in Galus and we're still going to be mourning. What's the main motif of our mourning, of Churban? So Rav Soloveitchik says, for those on Zoom, could you see, instead of printing my notes, I just figured I'll put it here. Some is at the computer, some is at you. In the first chapter of Eicha, which is symbolic of this whole idea of mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash, Lamentations, in the first chapter of Eicha, the prophet asks questions. Eicha is a question. What is the question of Eicha? Oh, no, not yet. Okay, Eicha. By the way, these are three different excerpts from the Sefer, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, commentary to Eicha and Kinnos. The first chapter of Eicha, the prophet asks questions. Eicha. There's no vidui. There's not a single word of confession. So it's not we have sinned, we are at fault. It's what has you have God done to us? The immediate reaction of the mourner in the book of Eicha, and for Churban Beis HaMikdash, we are all mourners, quote, we are all mourners. Part of the reason we don't appreciate the severity of these days, Asar B'Tavis is not a big deal, some people don't fast, obviously your exam medically, it's a different story halachically, because we don't appreciate the extent of Churban, myself included. My son said that on Shabbos at Yeshiva Gedolah 5 times, Rabbi Katzenstein spoke, and he said that, imagine being at a wedding, and everything at the wedding is wonderful. It's in a fancy venue. There's carving stations. There's sushi bars. There's fine wine being poured. There's a 20-piece band. Everyone's dressed so beautifully. It's an amazing evening. But there's no chasa makala. There's no bride and groom. So what are you doing? You're celebrating a wedding, but there's no wedding. He said, that's what galus is. We think we're at this wonderful wedding. We think we're at this wonderful party. We think everything's so amazing. But the chasen kal is missing. The connection, the marriage, the intimacy between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael is missing. And we don't appreciate the mourning because we don't even appreciate that the chasen kal is missing. We are all mourners, says Rav Soloveitchik. The immediate reaction of the mourner is, quote, one of being stunned, and not understanding the ways of the Almighty. We have a special license when it comes to mourning Churban Beis HaMikdash. We have a special license to seek an explanation, to ask why. Eicha means, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, Echa means how or why. This is the Rav's definition of the word Echa. Sometimes it happens at the Nautilus. No, I'm not joking. They're like 90 and up, and their phones are ringing. And I always think to myself, and the funny, because the other residents, you know, elderly people, they just say whatever they want, get annoyed. And I think to myself, halavai, I should be attending shiur or giving shiur. And 90, and I'm still, my phone is still ringing. I'm able to learn, and I'm able to use my phone. Kanai nahar. So echa means how or why. Echa means how is it possible? Echa means how could you have done it? Echa means why did you do it? Echa means I don't understand. I'm going to repeat. Echa means how or why. How is it possible? How could you have done it? Why did you do it? I don't understand. So my son said, we saw the sirens. We lived down the block. And then another one, then we went upstairs. My son said a third. But this itself raises a very serious question. The fact that we question God when it comes to mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash raises a very serious question. What right do we have to say kinnos? Kinnos, lamentations, poems that are of eulogy. What right do we have to ask? What right do we have to complain? Normally, the rule is to the contrary. Normally, quote, we are not allowed to ask such questions. So normally, all the other days of the year, you're not allowed to ask. I just saw an interesting insight. There was a little boy who was nifter in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if anybody saw. I was on Yeshiva World News. They thought it might be from COVID, but then they determined it was from the complications of the flu. But his mother said something I never saw before. She said, we don't ask why, the goyim ask why. Did you see this? She quoted from Tehillim. The goyim say, lama yomru ha-goyim. Ayena Eloheim, lama yomru ha-goyim. The goyim say, lama. Lama, comma, yomru ha-goyim. The goyim say, lama, she said. We don't say, lama. We say, what can I learn from this? So if echa means, how is it possible? How could you have done it? Why did you do it? I don't understand. This raises a very serious question on us. Normally, we're not allowed to ask such questions of God. On any other day, God forbid, if disaster strikes, the law is a Jew cannot ask Echa. He cannot ask why. You are not allowed to ask, quote, how is it possible? A half hour ago, she was singing Ein Od Milvado at the Camp Sternberg reunion. I saw the video. Beautiful. 10th grade girl with her friends. And half hour later, she was Nifteras. How is it possible? Again, the friends have been posting pictures, the family, there must have been a bar mitzvah at the Kotel, beautiful pictures of the family by the Kotel. On any other day, when disaster strikes, the Jews not allowed to ask why. Quote, the very question of Echa is intolerable. It is intolerable to ask God, why did you do this? Who am I to ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to explain anything to me? I'm not, Michal Arts isn't saying this. I'm quoting from the Rav. The law is a Jew is not allowed to ask Echa. He's not allowed to say why. Lama yomru agayim. The goyim say why. The very question of Echa is therefore intolerable. Who am I to ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to explain anything to me? Should he have to, why does God have to explain anything to me? I'm not the Borei Olam and I'm not the Manhig Olam. So he has a plan. You don't understand too bad. What do you mean how? What do you mean why? Who are you to understand? I'm quoting. What allows you to be so bold? Why do you think you should understand? We've given the mashal here many times of a two-year-old child, a young child. The mother does something, the child starts crying. Mother takes away the lolly, the mother takes away the iPad, whatever it is, and the child's crying. It's not that the child knows in his head, this is for my good, but I feel bad about it. The child in the mice has no concept that this is for his good. He cannot possibly understand why his mother's making him suffer. There's two different levels. One is somehow knowing this is from my God. Maybe sometimes we'll see it's from my God. Sometimes the Maisa, it's impossible. It's a kapar for the generation. That doesn't help me so much sometimes. It's a kapar for our sins. The child doesn't understand anything. They don't even have the capacity to understand what the parent's doing. The very question of Eicha is intolerable. Who am I to ask Kosh Baruch Hu to explain anything to me? What do you mean how? What do you mean why? Who are you to understand? What allows you to be so bold? What right do you have to address yourself to Kosh Baruch Hu in this way? The Gemara says in Menaseches Menachos, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, is quoted by the Rav, Kach Ala B'Machshav Lefanai. This is my thought. This is what I decreed. This is what I determined. The Gemara says in the name of God, this is my will, and that's it. You don't like it, the child doesn't like it that mommy took the iPad away or the lolly away, the child has to go into their crib now. Or sit in their, you know, stroller and be strapped in when the kid wants to run down the block. And the child doesn't understand. Mommy's restraining me. Mommy's putting me in prison. I run around. But the mother knows there's a lot of cars. And if the child runs, they might end up in the street. So the mother puts the baby in the stroller. I'm sure you've seen this before. And the toddler's screaming and trying to wriggle out of the stroller. The mother's putting the straps on the kid. Sit down in place. And he doesn't want to sit down in place. And he's crying. He has no capacity to understand that it's for his good. I, Micha Horetz, have no capacity to understand how this is for the good. I literally have no capacity. In situations of distress, says the Rav, we never ask questions of Akash Baruch Hu. If someone, God forbid, loses a member of his family, I'm quoting from the Rav, and he tears Kriya when he rends his garment, he does not say Eicha. He doesn't literally mean here to read Megillas Eicha. He means you don't say Eicha, because what is Eicha? How or why? How is it possible? How could you have done it? Eich is an accusation. Why did you do it? I don't understand. If someone loses a member of his family when he rends garments, when he tears kriya, he does not do so with the word eicha. Someone suggested something very nice to me today. I think it was Paula Spodek, if I recall correctly. That perhaps when we tear kriya, we're asking Hashem to be makri the gzeira, to tear up the gzar din. We ask Hashem, kra ro a gzar dinenu, tear up the evil decree that is before you. So perhaps some of the symbolism in kriya, I thought it was an interesting and very nice and poignant idea, is that we're asking Hashem to tear up the evil decree that is against us. Avinu malkeinu, kra ro a gzar dinenu. On the contrary, when a Jew finds himself, quote, in a catastrophic situation, instead of saying Eicha, he says Baruch Dayan Emes, blessed is the true judge. He acknowledges the judgment of Kosh Baruch Hu is true and just, and that's it. This is a tremendous challenge. It's a tremendous challenge to look at such a tzara, such a catastrophic situation, and acknowledge that the judgment of Kosh Baruch Hu is true and just. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that for a normal person, it's very hard to understand how it is so. I'm not saying it's not, I'm saying it is. But like the two-year-old is trying to be restrained in the stroller, the two-year-old has no ability to fathom what the parent is doing. They can't even say, I know this is for my good. They don't understand. They don't know it's for their good. I don't have any ability to understand that such a thing is for the good. When a Jew finds himself in a catastrophic situation, he says, Baruch Dayina Emes. What is the word Baruch? What's the root word of Baruch? Because you know I try very much to stress Shorashim. So it's the same as what other root. Happens numerous times in Sefer Bereishis, by the way.
Pool?
I can't hear.
I think it's like a pool, like a water spring.
Pool, okay, brecha, yes. But that's not what happens multiple times in Bereishis.
Knee.
What did you say?
A knee.
Knees, did you say knees?
Knee, like.
Yeah, did you both say knees? That's correct. I have rech es hagmalim michutz la'ir. Bereshis Chaf Dalet. Eliezer made the camels kneel outside the city. This week's parsha, actually, it's in Vayechi. When Yosef saw to Ephraim three generations, Gam b'nei Macher, Gam b'nei Menashe, Yuldo al Birke Yosef. Parak Nun, Pasuchav Gemma, I believe. Yosef had grandchildren on his knees. The camels kneeled. So what's the connection between knee and kneeling and blessing? Because we know in Lashon HaKodesh, if two words are the same shoresh, that means, what does it mean? They have to be connected. Okay, by now we should all know that. It has to be. You might not understand how. It might take you time to get there, but it has to be connected. Lashon HaKodesh does not have shoreshim by accident. So it means to bless God is to kneel before the will of God. It's to be able to say Baruch Atah in the good times, and to be able to say Baruch Atah in the catastrophic times. It's to kneel, which signifies absolute submission before Ratzon Hashem. So I think the connection to Brecha is that, on the other hand, we're asking that our blessing should be as bountiful, as vast, as unlimited as water, which is Chaim of the pool. Yes. Talks I could hear, please.
Maybe that's how we say Baruch Dayan Emes. Right. Right?
As opposed to something else. That's why I was bringing it up here. Baruch Dayan Emes, when you find yourself in a catastrophic situation. Blessed.
We also say Baruch Atov Vameitev. We say Baruch for both.
It's Baruch by both. That's exactly right. First we say Baruch Atov. He's going to bring it up soon. In a couple paragraphs. So when it's good, we say Baruch Atov Vameitev. We acknowledge that we fall before God, fall to our knees, so to speak, in gratitude. That's why when you make by Shemona Esrei, we bend our knees by Baruch Atah Hashem. Bend your knees signifies submission. So I submit to your will. Yeah.
In Aleinu, we also have Kilecha Tichra Kol Berach, I think. Aleinu.
Yeah.
The words Kilecha Tichra Kol Berach.
Very, very nice. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Very, very nice. Very nice, very nice, very good. Thank you. Kilecha Tichra Kol Berach. Very nice. To you, all knees will bow. Very good. So the connection is that we are bowing before the Ribono Shel Olam as we acknowledge that He is King. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. He acknowledges the judgment of Kosh Baruch is true and just, and that is all. So generally, a Jew must say, I sinned, it's on me. We don't accuse God. Generally, we accuse ourselves. I sinned, and immediately he recites the Vidi. Normally, our words do not consist of questions, but rather confession. By the way, it's every single day in the Shemoneh Esrei. Confession is not reserved for the Yamim Noraim. Every single day, three times a day. Sha'achos minch arvi, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. We sin, not you sin. We did wrong, not you did wrong. Mechalanu mechinu ki pashanu. Forgive us, our Father, we have sinned. Pardon us, our King. We are full of iniquity. I'm wrong, I sin. Normally, our words do not consist of questions, but confessions. We ask for forgiveness for the sin we have committed and nothing more. And so when tragedy strikes, the Jew says, Tzidok Hadin. There is righteousness in this justice. He acknowledges the justness of the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mother Rav quotes a pasuk from the end of Devarim Ha'azinu, Hatsur Tamim Paluk, he called Rachav Mishpa. The rock, perfect are his works. Kol Drachav Mishpa. Kol Drachav Mishpa. All his ways are just. And yet we, from our vantage point, look at certain ways of God and we say, how is this just? Is this called Drachav Mishpa? Is this Tzur Ta'amim Paro? All your ways are Tamim with Tmimus? Kel Amuna Ve'ein Avel. Tzadik V'yasherhu. He's a God of faithfulness. There is no iniquity. He is a tzadik. He is Yashar. Righteous and straight, if I have to translate. Now the Rav quotes from Ashrei, Tehillah LeDavid. Tzadik Hashem bechol derachav. So the morning after the accident, we all picked up our sitter, and you recited Ashrei, and you said Tzadik Hashem bechol derachav, v'chasi bechol ma'asav. Hashem is a tzaddik in all his ways. He is pious in all of his deeds. The Gemara says, whoever recites Tehillah David 3 times a day is a ben olam haba. We never, says the Rav, quote, find the question of Eicha in the course of ordinary events. We're not allowed to say, why did he do it? How could he do it? So-called theologians might ask this question, but, quote, the question itself is illegitimate. It is illegitimate to ask God, why did he do this? There is no need to explain the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the inscrutable will, in our rational categories. I have a rational mind. I'm a human being. I'm limited. I'm finite. So there are categories of how life should work and how things should be. There is no need to explain the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his inscrutable will. Inscrutable means impossible to define. We cannot understand exactly what it means. Impossible to understand or interpret. In my rational categories. So to me, it doesn't make sense. A single 38-year-old mother who's driving her daughter and 3 other girls home from a camp reunion should be fighting for her life. Although I saw tonight that Bli Einhar, you saw it also, yeah? She is, Bli Einhar seems to be improving. Miriam Bas Ina Pasya Yochavar. So it is forbidden, quote, forbidden to explain the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Basically, therefore, we should have no right to say kinos. We should have no right to mourn for Churban Beis Hamikdash, because the motif of mourning for Churban and Golos is actually questioning God. But that's a stira, that's a contradiction, because the Jew is not allowed to question God, ever. So how come when it comes to mourning for the Churban, I'm allowed to ask? And here we go. The Mishnah Maseches Brachos says, one must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of distress, in times of disaster, just as one is supposed to thank him in times of triumph, in moments of happiness. There was a post on the chat. Modim, we don't bend our knees. We do bend our knees by modim, yeah?
No, I think we just bend at the hips.
Oh, modim, oh, you mean by the word modim. Okay. Kashem shemavarchem ala tov, kach mavarchem ala ra. One is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevarchim beirach, bend over in submission, ala tov, and al hara. Says the Rav, we are not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu questions with regard to our private lives. There's been so many pictures of Liel from Sternberg, from camp. Have you seen her picture? Yes, no, maybe. Did you know her? You didn't know her?
She was a classmate of my granddaughter.
What?
She was a classmate of my granddaughter.
She was?
Classmate of my granddaughter.
Especially because, again, my son is friends with a couple of girls who are friends with her. So that's all that's obviously on their minds. We're not allowed to ask questions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regard to our private lives. A person who has met with disaster, a person who is confronted with misfortune, must accept it in the same manner as he accepts a happy event. No questions can be asked of the Almighty. No questions of all. We accept the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we engage in Siddur Kadin. Chazal, tell us, is your hand up?
I'll let you finish, but...
What?
I'll let you finish.
Okay. Chazal tells us Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan was executed in a particularly gruesome fashion. It's very famous. He was on the Saruga Malchus. They put the wet tufts of wool over his heart and his body to prolong his death so he shouldn't burn quickly. He was burned alive, and his body was wrapped in wet wool so he would die slowly and agonizingly over a long time. The Sifri in Hazinu says, when the news of the execution arrived, all the assembled arose, and they recited the bracha, the pasuk, Katsur tamim palo ki kol drachav mishpa. Mother in Eretz Yisrael say, Lama, Kama, Yamru Hagayim. The Gayim say, why? We say, Atzur Tamim Palo Kikol Drachav Mishpa. The rock, perfect are his works, all his ways are with justice and righteousness. What does the Sufri tell us? What is the point of this Mamre Chazal? Very simply, when the news of the execution reached his students, they didn't ask Eicha. They didn't ask why. They simply accepted the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and acknowledged his edict is just and good. By doing what they did, they asserted, quote, that they don't even have a right to ask. When Aaron is confronted by the death of his two sons, of course it's extremely famous in Parsha Shmini, his reaction is silence. Vayidom Aaron. And going back to Shorashim, Vayidom is the Shorash of silence. Vayidom is also the Shorash of obviously blood. Dalad Mem is blood. We spoke about the Gematria blood, 44, blood camp. So when we are confronted with Dam, the response is Vayidom. And the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, Ulecha Dumia Tehila. Ulecha, to you God, Dumia Tehila. Silence is praise. So it's true, everything we're learning these past few months, that everything Hashem does is for the good. It's true that even the disasters and the misfortunes somehow in some divine realm are good. Start off the class by reading a page from our Sefer. But to me, I don't know if in my lifetime, I'll ever understand how certain events are good in and of themselves, objectively good. I'm not trying to be kofar. I'm not trying to suggest that we should not have emunah in God. I don't know how it could be good. I don't know how in this lifetime we could see that it is good. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying I'm like the two-year-old being strapped into the stroller against my will. And I want to be free. And the mother saying, sit down. And the child doesn't understand. Aaron was silent. Eov asked questions and he was punished. He too had to keep quiet. He lost his family, his children, his business, his health. He had not the right to raise questions. Rabbi Akiva was murdered. He did not ask Eicha, of course, famous Rabbi Akiva, Brachos Samech Alf Beis. On the contrary, what did Rabbi Akiva say when he was being killed? What did Rabbi Akiva say when he was being killed?
I waited my whole life
for this mitzvah. Wow. I'm waiting to go back to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if we're going to get there in January. I'm not so hopeful to see our daughter in seminary. My husband thinks we're going. Triumph of hope, hopefully. I said, I hope you're right. I'm waiting for Simchas Yom Tov. I'm waiting for this mitzvah and that mitzvah. What was Rabbi Akiva waiting for? You shall love the Lord God with all your soul. Even if he takes life. My whole life, said Rabbi Akiva, I was waiting to do this mitzvah. I was pained over this verse. You shall love the Lord God with all your soul. Masai avo liyadi v'akayimena. When will it come to my hand and I will fulfill? Achshav shabal liyadi lo akayimena. Now that comes to my hand, I shall not fulfill. V'hayamarich ba'achad. He died with the Shema on his lips. That was his only question. That is how we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of disaster. Accept the divine sovereignty upon ourselves. The catastrophe of Churban Beis Hamikdash is one exception. On Tisha B'Av, when it comes to mourning, Avelus Yeshena, there's Avelus Yeshena and Avelus Chadasha. Avelus Yeshena is mourning for Churban, destruction, Galus, exile. Avelus Chadasha is what we call new mourning, the catastrophes that arise post-Churban. On Tisha B'Av, we're permitted to do something forbidden under ordinary circumstances. When it comes to mourning for the Beis Hamikdash, we have special permission to ask Eicha. Tisha B'Av, Churban Beis Hamikdash, has a special license. If we are indeed mourning for the destruction of Jerusalem and the Churban, we have a right to say Echa. We have a right to say why. Not only is permission granted, but Kadosh Baruch Hu requires this of Knesset Yisrael. And Tisha B'Av, when it comes to Avelus Yoshena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires this. We're required to ask, how is this possible? The entire book of Echa revolves around questions that we would not be permitted to address other times of the year. I turn around and I declare whatever I've said is unimportant. No matter what, God, your judgment is right. Your will is right. Ultimately, it is ridiculous to ask questions. I want to just end with the following short medrash. So, when Rabbi Akiva, and that was a quote from the Rabbi, even though I was quoting the Gemara, that Rav Salvechik in this piece brings it up, because he says a proper response to catastrophe is not Echa, but Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad v'ahavta Hashem Elkecha. So there's a beautiful medrash on this week's parasha. In the beginning of Perek Mem Tes, right before Birkas Yaakov, right before Yaakov blesses all the tribes before his demise, he says, Vayikra Yaakov Albana Vayomer, Yaakov called to his sons, and he said, Hey Asfu, gather round. Vagida Lachem Es Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'achos Yamim. What does Rashi say? Bikesh Yaakov Lagalas Esakates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. He said to his sons, gather around me. I want to tell you what will happen in the end of days. When will Mashiach come? When will Geula come? When will you be redeemed? However, what happened? Vinistalka Shechina Mimena, Rashi says the Shechina was taken away from him. He was not given permission to tell his children when the end will come. He wanted to tell the children when the end will come. And then he says, He katsvu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu Yisrael v'icham. Gather around, v'shimu, listen, the sons of Yaakov, v'shimu, and listen, Yisrael v'icham. Medrash Tanchuma v'yechi, Ches, says an amazing piece. Kishahaya Yaakov mistalek min ha'olam, when Yaakov was departing from the world, hear her belibo v'amar. He was nervous in his heart. What was he nervous about? He's leaving his children in galus, in exile. It's going to be very hard. He's dying. Shibud Mitzrayim is starting. Avodah this parach, backbreaking labor. Next week's parasha, vayimaru es chayim, avodah kasha, bitterness. Hear her belibo v'amar. He was nervous. He had thoughts in his heart, and he said, Avram Avi Holid Yitzchak v'Yishmael. Wait a second, my grandfather Avram had a tzaddik and a rasha. He had Yitzchak, he had Yishmael. Yitzchak Avi Holid Osi v'Esav. Yitzchak, my father, also had a tzaddik and a rasha. He had me, Yaakov, and he had Esav, my brother. Shema Ani Yesh b'mitasi psoles. There's a pattern here. Maybe in my bed, meaning in my children, there's also psoles, puzzle. There's a child who's disqualified. He was nervous about leaving the Shvatim, and based on the pattern of his father Avram, Yitzchak and Yishmael, Yaakov, Esav, and Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav, Shema Yesh Psoles B, lest there's something wrong with me. Kevan Shoshamukach, once his sons heard this, how did they reassure him? Amu Kulan Bepe Echad, they all said with one united mouth in unison, what did they say? Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad. You get it to play on words. Shema Yisrael. They were saying, listen, Abba, you are Yisrael. When we say Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shem Echad, it's the Varim Perikva, Pesach Dalet, we're declaring to the whole nation, Shema Yisrael, we affirm our faith altogether. Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. But the Medrash uses it like a play on words. They return to Yaakov, their father. Like the Pasuk says, as the Medrash, Vishimu al Yisrael avichem, listen to Israel, your father. So what did they say? Shema Yisrael, listen Abba, whose name is Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, there is no psoles b'mitasecha. There's no one disqualified from your family. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. Hashem is one. And this gave Yaakov a nechama, that he understood that his children were all righteous, they were the shifteka. I don't know if anybody saw this. I'll finish in a minute. Liel was having a WhatsApp conversation. Did you see this? With a friend after the reunion from the car. Are you coming back to camp next year? So the girl said, I'm not sure. So Liel said, please come for first half. So she said, maybe, okay. So she said, I'm so excited you're coming. So the girl said, yeah. And then, did you see this? Did anyone see this? And then Li'el wrote, remind me to say Shema later. And the girl said, I'll remind you. Say Shema, you're welcome. In other words, sort of like a joke. I just reminded you. The time of that text was 10:50, WhatsApp. You could see the time WhatsApp. It was 10:54. I saw the screenshot. They released video footage, I think from the Edward Avenue show, of the exact time that the pickup truck smashed into the white car. And the Alice Nefteris right there. It was 22:54 and 16 seconds. It was the exact same time. The last text she sent said, remind me to say Shema later. Literally the same minute as the accident. You could see on the WhatsApp conversation and the video footage that was released, it was on NBC News today, shows the top of the screen as the time, and it was 22:54, I think, and 16 seconds. I said to my son, maybe her neshama had a sense. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not a gada. I'm not a rav. It's just very telling. Very powerful. Very not coincidental. That the last thing she posted, literally, a 15-year-old child, was, quote, remind me to say Shema later. Perhaps, I don't know. I'm not saying this is MS or not MS. At the moment of the Yetzias HaNeshama, in some way, perhaps, did she know? I mean, it wasn't even part of the conversation. They were talking about going back to camp first half. And then all of a sudden, she wrote, remind me to say Shema later. She pressed send. It's the exact moment, literally, to the minute, that the pickup truck smashed into her car. Did the neshama sense it? What do we say, says the Rav? We don't say, how is it possible? Why did you do it? I don't understand. That's all a quote. We say, v'ahavta shem elkecha b'chol vavcha b'chol nafsha b'chol meldecha. Is everything Hashem does called avid rechamana letav avid? Is everything Hashem does good? Yes. K'shem shem v'arachem al tov, k'achem v'arachem al ra. We bow our knees in submission when we're thankful for the good, and we bow our knees, beirach, in submission over the bad. Doesn't mean I will ever be on the level where I understand how certain things are for the good. I could tell myself 100 times, I could read 20 stories, I could give 1,000 shiurim. But I personally ever come to the place where I could say, I see how this is for the good, I understand, in 22 years. I don't know. But Eicha is an intolerable question. And the Jew engages in Siddur Kadin. So may her neshama, I don't know if it needs an Ali or not, have certainly a Zechira Latova. May the Bona Shalom grant Koach and strength to all those affected, certainly her family, Rechman Alitzan, her friends, Am Yisrael, Miriam Bas, Ina Pastor Yochaved, Shalom Rufu Shalema. And we should be zocha that the day of Asar Batavius, which is a Yom HaDin, Hashem should be kra roa gzar dininu. Not we should be tearing kriya this coming Tisha B'Av. The Ribbono Shel Olam should be tearing kriya of the roa gzar dininu. We should be zocha to the final binyan, and there will be no more echa. Should be b'mhera b'yaminu. We continue to wish the Hashem of Mirfod, Mir Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alal Sham Aliyah. In this chus of the Torah that we share this evening, and we should just share a week of besuros tovos for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen. Thank you to all who joined in person, and thank you to everyone on Zoom. Besuros tovos to everybody. Kol tov.